Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Russell Benaroya, who is the author, entrepreneur, and speaker focused on helping people achieve their highest and best use by staying in their genius zones. Russell is the co-founder of Stride Services, which is an outsourced accounting and strategic finance firm that helps agency owners use their data for better decision-making. Today, we're going to be discussing Russell's journey of building Stride Services and how it can help benefit your agency. We're also going to be speaking a little bit about Russell's book, which is called One Life to Lead. So thank you so much for joining us today, Russell.
Oh, Julie, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I like solving big problems with unclear finish lines. There's something about going from nothing to something. So there's something about the creation and then the journey of navigating the birthing and the building of an idea and knowing that it's not really clear when it's going to end, right? No finish line. It's an interesting psychological challenge and problem, but hey, we're only here once. So let's make the most of our time.
Yeah. So that sounds like that's your, you know, zone of genius. You really enjoy, you know, tackling a big challenge and, you know, putting all those little pieces together of how you're going to tackle that challenge.
I think it's the pieces part of it mostly, which is how do we bring the right people to fill the right functions at the right time for the strategy that we're building. And I just love working in a coaching capacity with colleagues or employees to help them also achieve their goals, but in the context of a bigger goal.
Yes, of course. That's awesome. I love that. And then,
yeah, thanks.
So tell us a little bit about Stride Services and why you began servicing the agency space.
Sure. So as you said very kindly in your introduction, Stride Services provides outsourced bookkeeping, accounting, and fractional CFO support for digital agencies. And the reason that we started the business in the first place is because my business partner and I have been entrepreneurs for a very long time, since post-business school. We met in business school at UCLA, and we've built and exited a couple of businesses together. And we stepped back and said, what would be a purposeful business that would allow us to be in service to helping a business owner focus on their highest and best use, focus on those things that they wanted to do when they started the business, but probably got mired in a bunch of unexpected things that they needed to do as their business continued to grow. And this whole area of outsourcing, we all know is, I mean, many agency owners are in the business of outsourcing, right? Like they're an outsourced service themselves, but specifically in the area of finance, with all of the proliferation of cloud-based accounting services and tools, the idea that a focused firm or focused factory could provide this outsourced service so that a agency doesn't have to bring that resource in-house, mm-hmm. and that a firm could build the processes and systems to help that agency owner use their data to make better business decisions felt very purposeful for us, because Absolutely. Now we're enablers of entrepreneurs to achieve their highest and best use. And we have finance backgrounds, and so it was very natural for us to trend in wanting to spend time there. The reason why agency owners were so interesting, a little bit of serendipity and then maybe a little bit of forethought. But the serendipity is that my business partner's wife owns a digital agency. And so we had spent a lot of time helping her build some of the systems and processes to reduce friction in her business around financial analysis and invoicing and things like customer level profitability insights. And we're like, oh, there's a problem to solve here. And it's complicated because so many agency owners are drawing information from a bunch of different places in order to invoice, and invoicing can be complicated and sloppy. And yeah. most agency owners don't really love or get energized by financial information.
Of course.
And so we felt like we could bring some tools, capabilities, and technology to the table in service to this segment.
I love that. So what are the benefits of outsourcing, you know, the bookkeeping or accounting role, as opposed to having an agency bring someone in to manage that in-house?
A beautiful question, and not an obvious answer. So sometimes the obvious answer would be something like, oh, well, it's so much less expensive to outsource than to bring in-house, as if this yeah. were some kind of labor arbitrage circumstance, which mm-hmm. by the way, is true for certain. The cost of bringing somebody onto your team and the associated overhead and managing them and training them and giving them a path toward growth is fraught with peril, because you don't run a finance firm, you run an agency.
Yes.
And so of course it's going to be less expensive, but here's really why it matters. Because today, when we think about data in and around your organization, mm-hmm. it's sure, it is bookkeeping. Yes. It's also process design. It's also building systems. It's analytics. It's advisory. Mm-hmm. It's technology. And so the reason that you outsource is because the complexity of all of the various pieces that need to work well together to truly reap the value of your financial footprint, both being able to look at it historically, what have we done? How did that engagement go? And mm-hmm. then look at it prospectively out the windshield, is really complex. So
yes,
sure, go ahead and try to hire internally, but then you're like looking at hiring 3 to 4 people. And before you know it, that's like an investment of $500,000 to $600,000, where you could outsource a company that's really focused on those multidisciplinary functions for, say, $5,000 to $6,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's why you do it.
Yeah. So would you say the fact that you guys, you know, you focus on putting those processes and those systems in place for the agencies that you work with, is that one way that you really help stand apart from other, you know, outsourced bookkeeping or accounting firms?
I think so. The question that is so often on agency owners' minds goes something like this. I don't really know if this customer is profitable or unprofitable. And if they are or are not, I don't know if that's because I priced them incorrectly. We are executing poorly on process on our side. Mm-hmm. We don't have a good shared agreement with that client, which creates a lot of friction. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I would love to know that, because if I did, I'd then have levers to move, to make yes. a change.
So powerful.
It's so powerful, but it's so opaque. It's so opaque. So when we come to the table, yes, do you need good, clean financial statements and categorization and classification of your information monthly? Absolutely. But we take it to another level and say, let's warehouse or integrate your time tracking data over here, your financial information over here, your forecast spreadsheet over here. Let's get it into a data warehouse and have our analytics sit on top of that data so we can start to draw insights and actions so that you can in fact use those levers. And I think that's where we want to be a differentiated and valuable partner.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so interesting. So you guys work as, you know, consultants, and you really help agencies to be more profitable at the end of the day, in addition to offering those bookkeeping and accounting services as well.
Correct. Because like any industry, any professional service industry, agencies included, we have commodity aspects of our business, as does an agency, has commodity aspects of the business. And our responsibility as leaders, business owners, and innovators is to decommoditize the commodity, or let that which commoditizes get commoditized, do that as efficiently as possible so that we can spend more of our resources on that which adds value. So to answer your question, yes, the core bookkeeping accounting work is not the most complicated work. The complicated work is, how do you design a invoicing process that's going to scale when you double your business? How do you make sure that you're accurately and timely invoicing when you have inputs coming from time tracking over here and ad spend over here? So there's a consultative element to this. And then on the output side, how do you make it so that the information that's coming out the other end is informative and actionable? That's not a commodity. That's work, and that's partnership.
Yeah, interesting. So you guys are a really important tool for agencies who really, you know, they're really growth oriented. They want to be scaling up. So you guys are a really important tool that could help them achieve that.
Tool. And I actually like that you said tool. We're a service, but we think about what we deliver as a series of products. So we too want to grow our business, of course. So our products, we talk about our services in the vein of product. Like, we offer an accounts receivable product, or an accounts payable product, or a payroll product. Of course, it's not a product in the core sense of the word, but when you think about your service as a product, what does that force you to do? It forces you to think about standardization. It forces you to think about the steps in a process. It forces you to think about repeatability. And it's been healthy for us to think of our business like this, because we're in the same business that so many agency owners are. We're a managed service company. We just happen to be providing accounting services, but we eat a lot of the same dog food around what we build and then what we provide.
Got it. Okay. And then, so do you guys service, you know, agencies of a specific size, or what type of agency is your ideal customer that you would like to be working with?
Where we really show our strength is working with agencies that are typically somewhere between about $1.5 million in revenue to $6 to $7 million a year in revenue. Like, that zone is fraught with opportunity, or fraught with peril and rich with opportunity, because those companies typically don't have anybody that's in-house. Many times the company has grown, but it hasn't been through per se intentional growth. And so the business owner's like, holy smokes, I now have this business here. I didn't entirely anticipate this or prepare for it or build the skill set for it. And you get to this inflection point where your instinct as an owner, as a digital agency owner, now becomes a liability, where your instinct becomes a liability because you simply don't have visibility on the information and it's starting to make you nervous. And that's where we can come in and help.
Okay, very good. And so if any agency owners who are listening are interested in learning out a little bit more about Stride Services, what is the best plan of action for them?
Oh, the best plan of action is to visit www.stride.services or send an email to hello@stride.services to learn more. We spend a lot of time producing content as well. And so we have a lot of downloads on our website under the blog. I also have a podcast where we bring on a number of agency owners as well. Mm-hmm. So we just want to be out there in the market, providing value and education and creating an easy on-ramp to connect with us if you're interested.
Love that. And if you could share one tip for agency growth with our listeners, what would that be?
One tip for agency growth in profitability or growth in revenue or both?
I will let you decide. It is up to you.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to do one of each. Okay. So the growth in revenue, and again, I'm going to own my experience here because we think about this at Stride in a similar way. I think growth in revenue comes through smart customer segmentation and knowing who your customer target is so yes. that you can be perceived in the market, not as a vendor, but as a partner, somebody mm-hmm. that is creating content that brings value, somebody that can show comparability across various clients, where you are uniquely positioned because you understand their business so intimately. And it's hard because as entrepreneurs, we're like, I want this business and I want that business and I want that revenue. And I feel like I need that revenue. Mm-hmm. And when we stop and realize that we will grow faster over time if we get really focused. That would be my one recommendation on revenue growth. My recommendation on profitability growth really gets down to gross profit per customer, understanding what I call your unit economics. I'd written a book, which we don't need to talk about it in detail, but I wrote a book called Free Yourself to Work on Your Business, a journey into unit economics. Ooh, right. Exciting. But it's a real page turner, but the point is when you understand that gross profit per customer, you mm-hmm. then have a much better vehicle to drive profitability at a customer level.
I love that. Those are two really great tips. I love that. So I'd love to pivot a little bit now and talk about another book that you've written called One Life to Lead. So tell us, why did you decide to write One Life to Lead?
I published the book in 2021. It took me about 2 years to write and then publish the book. And I started writing it when my family and I decided to move abroad for a year to live in Costa Rica in 2018 and 2019. My wife and I, for many, many years, had been talking about doing this with our family, and we had teenagers at the time, but we'd been talking about it since they were born. But of course, life gets in the way, and you don't do it, and you get buried in business. Yeah. And there was a moment in our relationship where it became clear that my entrepreneurial obsession was my entrepreneurial obsession, not holistically what we as a family were doing together and building that sacredness around our family unit. And so my wife and I started spending time really digging into that, again, without derailing your podcast here, into that deep dive conversation. But it ultimately led to this desire and energy we had from revisiting that conversation we've been having for like 12, 13 years about creating an abroad experience. And we pulled the trigger. So we pulled the trigger. We moved to San Jose, Costa Rica. We lived in the city. We sent our kids to school. I needed to figure out what I was going to do professionally. And I just felt like I'm going to figure it out. And in that time, I had some space to reflect on some of my own actions, decisions, opportunities, and challenges. And I just started to write. I started to write and reflect. And it was a massive outpouring of expression that as I started to look at what I was writing, I thought, huh, there are some patterns of behavior here that have not served me particularly well or have been blind spots in my life. And I'm not sure they're just mine entirely. I think many entrepreneurs suffer from similar blind spots. And so I came back, when we came back to the United States, I interviewed many, many entrepreneurs who were willing to share their own experience under the umbrella of some of these steps of life design, which is what One Life to Lead is about. It's the subtitle is Business Success Through Better Life Design. And the idea is, yes, this is a book on leadership, but it's not on how to lead others. It's how to lead yourself. And when you stop trying to prove your worth and live your worth, your business becomes a part of the bigger arc of who you are. How do you get intentional about leading a life by your design versus getting designed in to others, which is something we often suffer from? So the book lays out a series of steps of life design with a bunch of examples and exercises that has proven to not only be a good guide for other business leaders that are navigating this journey of uncertain outcome, but also a good guide for me. And I wrote the thing.
Yeah. The best way to learn is through teaching, right?
And continue to reference that thing that I wrote. I was like, yes, I need to remind myself that I live in a world of telling myself stories that aren't necessarily grounded in facts. Okay, stories versus facts, which is a component of life design.
Interesting. So would you say giving yourself that space to really, you know, have that, you know, quiet your mind and just go within and reflect was a crucial component of, you know, finding out what it is that you want to achieve as a professional?
So crucial. And I think many digital agency owners are very good at this, which is finding space that gives them energy to be creative, to be expressive. And that when they feel like they're just like, I am working in this machine, they lose the energy and the creativity that has made them so unique and special. So yes, it wasn't any different for me. I found myself when I finally got out of the bubble of my current circumstance that I could be an observer rather than being blinded by being in the machine.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a really unique topic to write a book on, but I think it's really, really important. So how would you say that it would benefit, you know, agency owners who are reading it? How can it help them, you know, be a better agency owner or entrepreneur at the end of the day?
A business is simply an aggregation of human beings. in the service world, right? We're not making widgets here. It's an aggregation of complex human beings with various needs, wants, desires, hopes, and dreams. And as a business owner, you've created this container, which is a bit of an expression of who you are as well, because you're bringing yourself to it. Mm-hmm. And your desire is to see whether or not we can move this collection of individuals toward a common purpose, toward a common goal, while also honoring that each person is unique and has their own individual hopes, dreams, goals, fears, anxieties, etc. And this book, One Life to Lead, is really about equipping you as an owner and your team, by the way, so when they read it, it creates a common language around what are the tools that are available to me that allow me to help instill an environment where we can hopefully be our best selves, where we can be candid with each other, where we can take our responsibility when things go a little off the rails, where we can say, hey, I don't think I'm working in my highest and best use. Can you help me figure out how we can get there? Mm-hmm. Where we can create principles that we all share for the code of how we're going to conduct ourselves in this organism that said entrepreneur created. Mm-hmm. And so when teams of people read the book, it tends to create a gelling of language that allows teams to feel supported for who they are as individuals in pursuit of a business intention.
I love that. Well, I talk to agency owners from time to time who have book clubs within their agency. And I think that could definitely be a great read for any agencies who do that for them, something for them to read with their team.
Great idea.
Yeah, I love that. All right. Well, we are now getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions for you. So speaking about books, what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
The number one book that has most fundamentally changed my life is a book called The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership by Diana Chapman and Jim Dethmer. It is a tremendous guide for how to lead.
Amazing. That's Sounds it. Like a great recommendation.
Great book.
What does your morning routine look like?
Okay, well, this morning, my routine was a 20-minute Peloton workout, a 10-minute Wim Hof breathing exercise. Have you ever heard of Wim Hof?
Yes. Wim Hof? Yes. Yeah. I have.
The guy's insane.
Yes.
Okay.
He'll sit he'll sit in like an ice bath for a ridiculously long time, but apparently it has amazing health benefits.
It's incredible. So he's got this breathing technique, which takes about 10 minutes that I do not do every day. I'm just sharing. I did it this morning, but yeah. I found it to be really relaxing. And then I did this crazy arms workout, 10 minutes only. Mm-hmm. With 2-pound weights, literally 2-pound weights. And I could barely do it. Like small movements for like shoulders and arms. I don't know. It was crazy. But that's what I did this morning.
Yeah.
Fitness.
I love that you break it down into smaller increments so that it's more manageable to do.
And kind of fun. Like pulling different things to do.
Switching it up. Love that.
Switching it up.
Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
In 2011, I started a company out of a program called Techstars, which is a technology accelerator program around many parts of the world. And there was a guy in our cohort of 11 entrepreneurs who started a company called Remitly. And Remitly is an international payments company, and his name's Matt Oppenheimer. And when you asked me this question and you had me think about it before this podcast, I thought, he's probably the guy that I admire the most for being so focused on the problem that he was trying to solve, first in international payments to one particular country, and then only then did he continue to expand globally. But I just really appreciate the discipline.
Amazing. And what is your favorite online tool?
Hands down, Canva.
Canva is such an amazing tool.
I mean, it actually makes me think that I've got skills.
I know, it's amazing. And I love the story about the founder of Canva as well. She was an Australian woman who had no connections to Silicon Valley, got rejected by 100 different contacts, and then eventually got funded and is now worth, you know, billions and billions of dollars. I think it's like $32 billion or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So such an inspiring success story.
Great piece of software.
Yes. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Patience and curiosity. I exercise a lot of curiosity today, mm-hmm. patience, I think I'm still working on, but those two would have allowed me to, I think, overcome a few obstacles.
Yeah, I love that. Great tips. Yeah, I think patience is so important. You know, you've got to have that, you know, work with that sense of urgency, I believe, but still have that patience and know that your success is going to pay off.
And patience is still in service to action, right? Just because you're not like moving doesn't mean you're not making progress. In fact, patience may be one of your most critical allies in pursuit of the thing that you're trying to do. Knowing when to exercise it and when not to is what's important. But even just knowing that it's a tool available to you, that's what I wish I knew.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Russell. It was a pleasure to have you on and talk about Stride Services and your book, One Life to Lead. So thank you so much for joining me for today's episode.
Such a pleasure. I know that I reached out to you to introduce myself to be a participant on the podcast, and your former guest, Nicole Hanusik, was one of your guests, and you're doing great work, and it's just fun to be a part of your community. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Russell.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.